Yes, it's there for you too. Most people already know that wealth and abundance exist. They just don't accept that they exist for them personally. That's where knowledge and prosperity principles come in. But in order to expand your consciousness and change your circumstances, you must be sincerely ready and willing to change. You must have an open mind and not be stuck in a state of hopelessness and defeated by what has occurred up until now. You must have even the slightest feeling that there is something better for you, and if it can happen for someone else, it can happen for you. If someone can transition from extreme disadvantage in the ghetto to fantastic wealth and success, isn't it likely that someone with a better start could expand their mind to create more? There is a way, and it doesn't matter who you are or what your life circumstances have been. You can overcome past life conditions and beliefs. Everyone already has faith. We all have faith that the sun will rise, don't we? Well, except for the rare doomsdayer. So you already have faith. The important thing is, in what do you have faith? And what can you do to change the focus of that faith? You simply apply the techniques that you are learning in this book to gently shift your subconscious beliefs so that they agree with your conscious wants and desires. As within, so without. Chapter 8. In the beginning was the Word. The foundation of the Feel Free to Prosper teachings is the Word. Whether we have a religious affiliation or none at all, at some point in time we have probably heard, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John chapter 1, verse 1. Now, since Feel Free to Prosper is not a religious teaching but is based on spiritual law, for our study, let's substitute the word law for God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with law, and the Word was law. In the beginning lessons of the Feel Free to Prosper teachings, a primary purpose is to help my students come to a clear-cut understanding and grasp just how powerful their word is, the spoken word, and especially the written word. Our words become our claim, the imprinting of our desires on universal mind substance, our claim to our natural inheritance. Our word is the bridge between our heartfelt desires and our Creator, God, universe, spirit, infinite intelligence, divine mind, Lord, law, which has the ways and means, the know-how to turn our words into flesh. Our word is our manifesting connection to the Lord, law, of our being. Our word becomes flesh, form, material, when we make and stake our claim with faith and expectation. Our word is the manifesting mechanism in our fulfillment factory. Our word becomes the law of our being. When we say on one hand that we want this thing, but continue to express words that represent the opposite of our desire, we succeed in perpetuating the same unwanted conditions and we do not reach our fulfillment or freedom state. When we say on one hand that we want this thing and also say and write and express words that represent our desire, we succeed in creating space for that desire to rush in and we attract it and reach our freedom state. Our word becomes flesh, our physical, tangible, fulfilled desire. In more clinical terms, we have then succeeded in creating an agreement of the desired idea between our conscious and subconscious minds. And when both aspects of mind agree on the same idea, our desire becomes manifest. We cannot have it both ways. We cannot want one thing and express its opposite and expect the powerful laws of the universe to work on our behalf. You cannot claim to feel prosperous and then state that there's no way to pay your bills. That very statement will ensure that the way to pay those obligations will not get through to you. Those words have now become your law and beautifully represent a law of lack, your self-fulfilled prophecy. The law never stops working for you, and you can't stop using it. But you can keep using it to manifest what you do not want, or you can learn to use it purposefully and in alignment with the abundance that universally exists for everyone, including you. I cannot teach these principles and at the same time watch on as students express the very opposite of this powerful principle. That would be inauthentic on my part as a devoted teacher of the laws. But more importantly, it will not help them or others who wish to become aligned with the laws. so I am quick to alert a student if I feel he or she is not aligned with the fulfilling law of their being. It is not that I am without empathy or compassion. They are very important parts of my path, but my mission is to teach you the power of the words you choose. So the very best in empathy, compassion, or inspiration that I can offer is to firmly encourage you to choose your words and language as if your life and conditions depend on them, because they do. You say that you need an answer. There is always an answer. There is always a solution. The universe and the law have ways that you could never imagine, but you must invite these answers and solutions with your words. We are not lying. We are not ignoring reality. We are creating a new reality, the reality that we truly desire. Our words create our feelings. Our words and feelings create our reality, a reality that is moldable and always subject to change. What an amazing realization. We must do our part, and then the law of our being will do its part. Our words will not return to us void. Our word is the manifesting mechanism in our fulfillment factory. Marilyn Janae, feelfreetoprosper.com. Chapter 9. You don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. On a discussion forum, someone mentioned rolling with the punches in life. Another member responded, Marilyn will have to validate this, but as I understand the law of attraction, if you choose to roll with the punches, the universe will likely give you punches to roll with. How funny is that? So, of course, I just had to join in and quipped. I wonder what happened to all the viewers who watched over and over again that longtime TV commercial with the catchphrase, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? Now, the real topic of the discussion was, do you ever think about what you want your life to be like in 1 year, 5 years? The prosperity teacher in me saw a real challenge in this question, and I had to jump in. This may seem a bit profound for you if you are new to these principles, but listen to it a couple of times. You'll get it. Take a moment to think about this question. When we want something, what is the message that we are giving to our subconscious mind and to the universe? Let's consider the answer based on these statements from a previous chapter. The subconscious mind will create for us and attract to us those circumstances that it accepts to be true in the present moment. And what we are thinking and feeling now is what determines our future, its outcomes and experiences. We create that future right this moment. Quite simply, when we want something, we are telling our mind that we don't have it. And the law is that we attract what we already have in consciousness. Dr. Joseph Murphy. We don't attract what we want, we attract what we are. It took me years to really get that. We attract what we are in consciousness. That's it. So the way to really manifest our desire is to convince our subconscious that we already have it. Dr. Murphy said, feel the joy of the answered prayer. If we live in the state of the fulfilled desire, feel the reality of the goal accomplished, this will impact the subconscious. That's the most profoundly effective key to manifesting what we want. Living the desire, not wanting it. In my mentoring groups, I conducted an exercise. Even though I am not here with you in person, you can still absorb these ideas and apply them on your own. First, I guide my students to reach a certain state of mind. I have everyone imagine that all of their needs and wants are met in this moment of time, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. I want them to let go of all sense of needing or wanting anything, and in the now moment, feel complete satisfaction, complete fulfillment, complete relaxation. So now there is nothing to want. However, in this fulfilled state, they can create anything at all. The nature of life is to continually expand, grow, and create. So if all of our desires were fulfilled, the next step would be to create something new. When we attain a goal in life, we always aspire to reach another goal. And in this relaxed, calm state, we can create without static and distraction from negative, contradictory thoughts or feelings. When the students reach that completely fulfilled state, I have them select one thing that they desire to create in the near future. But here's the key. I have them create it in consciousness, in thought and feeling, existing now. Again, there is no wanting, needing, or desiring. There is only the creating in that moment. There is only experiencing the creation itself. There is only accepting. I guide each student to create their scene and describe it to the others as it is happening in that moment. But it is important for them to get out of their heads and become completely involved in their feelings as they experience the created event. Whenever they describe details like they are out there, I gently guide them back to what they are feeling in that moment as the event is happening around them. They are immersed in the role. They are the actor in their own play, immersed in their feelings. The results are notable: tears of joy, overwhelming feelings of happiness, and profound feelings of gratitude. These students are living their desire, not wanting it. Why would we want something we already have? I instruct the students to repeat this creative exercise as they fall asleep at night. This is the way to impregnate the subconscious mind and to bring the creation into existence in the physical world in the shortest time. Here is one of the most interesting aspects of this manifestation process. When this does happen, when our creation does appear physically in our world, it won't even seem like a manifestation. It will seem completely natural, like there is nothing unusual going on. This is because we have already accepted our desire in consciousness. The subconscious has accepted it as a natural occurrence, and it feels like the normal flow of things. But then we look back and recall the process and say, wow, I created that. First in consciousness, then it appeared in my world. We then fully understand the meaning of, you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. Words and affirmations are powerful. You have heard me say that. But just one moment of feeling the reality of your fulfilled desire is more powerful than 1,000 affirmations. So don't want it. Own it. Be it. Experience it. Accept it. One of the greatest teachers of manifestation, Neville Goddard, advised, ask yourself, how would I feel if? How easy is this to do? Please do not feel discouraged if you are not able to apply this principle right away. If it were that easy to do, then with the vast amount of knowledge and countless books and programs available today, every seeker would be walking around consistently manifesting whatever they want. That's why I believe so strongly in a step-by-step process for overcoming the resistance in the subconscious mind, and why the Feel Free to Prosper program lessons are applied at intervals to allow the subconscious to become fertile and more receptive to the advancing lessons. In this book, I am presenting a broad foundation of the prosperity laws, followed by the specific Lesson 1 program at the end of the book. After applying the lesson material, you will find that many of these concepts will become easier to understand and apply. Chapter 10. Are you visualizing out there or from within? The dictionary defines visualize as to see or form a mental image of. Does visualizing create a challenge for you? Many people visualize by looking at their goals out there on the screen of space, in their imagination, or on dream or vision boards. This chapter will explain the most powerful way to visualize and the fastest way to manifest results, visualizing from within. Let's discuss a bit about visualizing. First, let me start by noting that some people cannot visualize in mental pictures. There is nothing wrong with this, it's just the way their brains function. But they can visualize by feeling the reality of the goal they wish to attain. In fact, I believe that the feeling aspect of imagining is much more powerful and magnetic than the picturing aspect. You can feel the emotions even if you cannot see images. What is important for you to know is that your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between a real and an imagined act. Looking at. Now, you can make mental pictures or gather specific details and create a vision board to establish your goals in your subconscious mind. These techniques are often recommended as a way to condition the subconscious, and they have some benefit. They will encourage you to focus on what you want. However, I have a very different opinion about visualization, which for our purposes will include both the picturing and feeling aspects. Let's say you close your eyes to see yourself achieving a goal. You see yourself out there on the screen of space, watching yourself going through the motions, almost like watching a movie. Or you make your vision board or dream board or treasure map or whatever you wish to call it. You are looking at items on this board that you wish to possess, or you may have pictures of yourself on this board doing or being what you want. However, you are still looking at yourself out there. Again, this may have some benefit, especially if visualizing in this way produces in you a corresponding feeling of having what you want. Looking from. But here is the most powerful way to visualize and the fastest way to manifest results. You visualize from within. You are the actor in the role, seeing the world through your own eyes, looking out at the world as if you already are what you want to be or already possess what you desire. You assume this role and live in this consciousness over and over until it feels natural to you. As you rehearse this role, your subconscious will accept it and it will become your natural state of being. You will take on the mental and emotional state of the end result, and then, at just the right moment, you will experience this reality in the outer world. The outer world must conform to what you have accepted inwardly. It's already mine. So, here is the difference. Let's use Bev as an example with a relatively simple desire. Bev wants a new digital camera. Bev can picture the camera she wants, she can paste up photos, study it in detail, and commit the image to memory. She may even suddenly see these cameras all over the place. But will she accept subconsciously that this camera is hers? Maybe. Or Bev can play the role, become the actress holding the camera up to her eyes, feel herself focusing her camera on her subject. Maybe even feel the slight weight of the camera in the carrying case as it swings against her as she walks. She can close her eyes and feel herself placing her camera in its spot on her shelf at home. If Bev were not able to make mental pictures clearly, then all she would need to do is create the feeling that she already possessed her camera, the feeling of satisfaction of owning the camera, not desiring or wanting it, because if you already have something, then you wouldn't desire or want it, would you? Bev, the real Feel Free to Prosper student who inspired this example, also put a photograph of the back of the exact camera she wanted on her computer desktop, where she saw it every day. This made it easy to visualize being with the camera, since the buttons and features became familiar, so the reality arrived very quickly. Become the actor in the role, playing the part of being, doing, having whatever it is you want, from the inside out. From within your own consciousness, you already are that person. You are already doing what you want. You already have what you desire. That is true visualization. Chapter 11. Your Words and the Law of Cause and Effect. I love to share the subtle gems that I have learned over the decades from my study and application of mental and spiritual laws. Yes, some of these principles can be very subtle, but when we become aware of them, they can greatly add to our understanding of the circumstances in our lives. We must become more acutely aware of the law of cause and effect. We must become aware of the tremendous power behind our words, especially when strong feelings are attached to them. By increasing our awareness, we refine our character and our personality to become more aligned with the laws of life and are then able to attract and manifest more of what we want in life. We cannot escape the law of cause and effect. We might get away with rolling through a stop sign and cheat the man-made laws, and that may even be in question, but we cannot do this with the laws that govern our existence. The reason that we are not generally aware of the repercussions of this law is because of the time factor. For example, let's say that you bump your arm on an object. A bruise may not show up on your arm until later, sometimes even days later, but this is a perfect analogy of the law. The bruise is an obvious effect from a cause that occurred earlier. I explain to my students that the situations in our lives today are the effect of causes that occurred at some earlier time. Sometimes a cause can create a reaction in a very short span of time. Often the root cause goes back much further in time, and sometimes there can be an almost instantaneous result. We have all heard the term instant karma. One of the secrets, then, to manifesting what we want in life is to make sure that our current thoughts and feelings are in alignment with everything that is wholesome, positive, and loving, and focused on what we want to create, definitely not on what we don't want to create or continue creating. The stronger our negative emotional reactions are to a situation, the more quickly and deeply they will create a new neural pathway in our brain. Once that pathway is created, it will continue to attract more of the same kind of situation. We will keep attracting more of what we don't want. Ugh! Words are powerful. Words plus emotion are more powerful. Words that are written are even more powerful. Words written publicly that are seen and read by a multitude of people have so much power that it's like staking a public claim in universal mind. You certainly don't want to have that much power rebound and boomerang back to you. What if you have to address a negative situation? I'm not saying that we should not write letters or use words to correct situations, state our case, or stand up for our rights. But it's the thought, intention, and emotion that are behind our words that we must be aware of. We can stand up for our case. We can offer feedback and criticism that is constructive. We can ask for refunds or restoration. And we can do it gracefully and with civility, without hurtful intention or personal malice. We will find that our situations will be resolved so much more quickly and peacefully, and we will not make ourselves vulnerable to the law of cause and effect. And of special importance, we can become teachers and way-showers instead of victims. The effects in our lives do not generally have the same specific details as the causes. They may show up in different forms, but the fact is that they will show up in some form. We cannot escape the law. There is one way, however, that I believe we can overcome the effects of our past and present causes, or karma, and it is the only way that we can do so. It is called living under the law of grace. And the only way that we can live under grace and not under the law of cause and effect and settle our karmic debts is through love. Chapter 12. How do we eliminate fear? You know, when I first began my journey to find a place for myself in life and the business world and to overcome financial limitation, I didn't set out to become wealthy or make $1 million. Oh, that was a nice dream to aspire to, but I knew that wasn't the real answer to my prosperity. So what was my goal? Quite simply, what I wanted more than anything in the world was to lose the fear. I wanted to feel a sense of security, the feeling that I would always have what I need and that whatever I needed would be provided. I realize now in retrospect that what I really yearned for was to be connected to my true source of supply. Somehow deep within, beyond my limited, conditioned thinking, there was a part of me that knew that the secret to unlock my freedom was to eliminate fear in all areas of life, including those financial-based fears. So I made a decision years ago that I would no longer keep company with fear, and I have stayed the course. Someone posted on a forum that her answer to the fear situation was just not letting it control you. I disagree. I believe that just not letting it control you is meeting fear halfway and still allows it to keep us from our full potential. It cuts us off from our universal source and the ability to manifest what we want, an ability that is founded in faith, not fear. We can make the decision to eliminate fear from our life, and once we commit to do that, amazing things happen and we can discover our true strengths. I'm not saying we shouldn't feel emotions like excitement, anticipation, adrenaline rushes, and such. I'm saying that I believe that we can decide which emotions we want coursing through our mental and physical being. Do we want emotions that will nurture our spirits and bodies, or ones that play havoc? I came to the realization that there was no upside to fear, and I made a decision. That was the turning point. These brilliant minds said it best. Rosa Parks, I have learned over the years that when one's mind is made up, this diminishes fear. Knowing what must be done does away with fear. Marcus Aurelius, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. Emile Coué, when the imagination and willpower are in conflict, are antagonistic, it is always the imagination which wins, without any exception. Every day, in every way. I speak about Emil Coué in my programs. You may not recognize his name, but you will probably recognize his gift to us. He is the renowned French psychologist and pharmacist who produced healings in patients by having them apply his autosuggestion. Every day and every way, I am getting better and better. Coué taught us that the imagination always wins over willpower. Our mind, our imagination, should always be focused on thoughts that represent what we want, not on what we don't want. Not only will repeated suggestion trigger the body's natural healing mechanism, it will also guide us to inspired outer action and stir up universal forces in our favor. We should always think of ourselves as happy, healthy, and successful, and confident and faith-filled rather than fearful. Coué also taught us that it is impossible for us to think two thoughts at the same time. Contradictory thoughts will not be accepted by the subconscious, but dwelling on a single thought will penetrate and be acted upon. Which thought will you choose? So, what can I do to eliminate fear? First, make the decision that you are going to do so, a firm decision, not a half-hearted one. Next, you are going to change your words and your thoughts to instill in your deeper mind, your subconscious, your imagination, the idea of what you do want. What is the opposite of fear? The opposite of fear is faith. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete trust and expectation. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. This kind of faith is based solely on our mindset, belief, and expectation. And the belief itself produces a result. Think about, bring about. You have unwavering faith in the absolutes of existence. You are certain that the sun will rise or that gravity is completely reliable. But you also have had faith or strong convictions in circumstances, conditions, and appearances that are later proven to be wrong. Most likely, you are living below your potential because of faith based on deep-seated beliefs that were instilled in your mind from a very young age. You may even have faith that you are filled with fear. So, we know that the mind cannot hold two thoughts at the same time, and that two opposing thoughts will not be accepted by the subconscious. Therefore, the answer to this whole fear dilemma is to saturate your mind with words and thoughts that represent what you do want to create. Start now by eliminating the word fear from your vocabulary. Begin repeating words like confidence, faith, peace, and poise. Repetition will drop these desired ideas, these seed thoughts, into the subconscious, and your mind and life will shift in the direction of these new dominant thoughts. You will acquire a new habit, a faith and confidence habit that will replace all fear. That is the antidote for fear. I challenge you to do it and to see what happens. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. There was no one there. Anonymous. Chapter 13, The Law of Reversed Effort. Did you know there is a law called the Law of Reversed Effort? It states that the harder you try to do something, the less chance you have of achieving it. Trying implies a negative. It suggests to the mind that you may not accomplish. Even Yoda in Star Wars recognized this truth when he wisely said, "Do or do not, there is no try." We plant our seeds in preparation. We want our desired result to grow and manifest, just as the seed planted in the ground becomes a plant or a flower. So we first do our job and plant our seeds. We nurture the soil with positive thoughts and expectation, the water and sunshine for our mental garden. Then we turn the job over to universal mind, to the creative forces. We can relax and let go. Our manifestation will come. Here is a simplistic, concrete example of how this works. Ever misplace your keys or another object? You try and try to figure out where it is, but you can't. But the moment your attention is somewhere else and you stop thinking about it and forcing the answer suddenly pops into your mind. Well, this principle can apply in a much broader scope to your everyday life and business. Did you ever have an important problem to solve and tried everything to find a solution but to no avail? Then, if only from sheer exhaustion you gave up, suddenly the answer appeared. We might say that in order to reap, there is a time to sow and a time to let go. Chapter 14. Forget the how and enjoy the wow, starting now. Forget the how and enjoy the wow. I blurted this out one day and I thought to myself, what a simple reminder the universe just handed to me to share. Once you have instilled in your deeper mind the idea of what you wish to attract, you must be able to let go of the how in order to manifest and enjoy the wow. Remind yourself that focusing on the how will only serve to close off the unlimited number of channels of which you are not aware. Focusing on the source of your supply will open potential channels that you could never even imagine, but that are there for you. The universe is the source of your results, not the individual channels. We must do our part by deciding what we want and using the mental and spiritual tools to plant the seeds of our desire in our garden. It is then time for us to let go and allow the universe to do its job. We nourish our soil with faith and expectancy, just as a planted seed is nourished with water and sunshine. But we do not instruct the seed on how it should grow. We don't keep digging up the seed to see how it's doing, to check to see if it has grown. We don't hover over our garden with impatience. We don't try to force our seeds to grow. With our earthly gardens, we can easily let go and trust that all of the elements necessary for the growth of our seedling will be provided by the presence that knows just how to turn that seedling into a fully manifested flower or plant. If you will realize that the soil of your subconscious mind is your mental garden, you will understand that you may plant your seeds and then surrender to that all-knowing presence to bring your manifestation to fruition in the right and perfect way and at the right time. It knows exactly what to do. It knows exactly what adjustments must be made, what elements must be harvested, and just when to bring it all together. It is the master planner. It is the chief operating officer. It is the project manager. It knows how. You do not. It knows how to open doors without one whit of effort on your part. It knows how to nudge you from within and cause you to intuitively put forth effort when required, fruitful effort that will result in your manifested desire. All of the brain power, computer power, and genius in the world combined do not know how to manifest like this infinite intelligence does. When you find yourself wanting to intervene in the work of the divine designer, please remind yourself to butt out and say to yourself, forget the how and enjoy the wow. Chapter 15. Loose lips sink ships. Why silence is golden for manifesting. As someone who has studied, applied, and accomplished using mental and spiritual laws for decades, I have come to believe the following. There is power in silence. Manifesting power comes from your personal connection with the universal source of all good, not from others, even though they may be harmonious and supportive. It is primarily a matter of keeping the energy contained and focused, which increases the creative and manifesting power of universal spiritual substance. By sharing our intentions, energy is dissipated and the focus is compromised. It is in the dark silence of the soil that the seed begins the process of creation, and having been acted upon by the creative substance of the universe, grows into the beautiful flower for all to see. We should not announce our pending manifestations to others. Keep silent about your results and goals until they are consummated. Manifestations can be very exciting and you may want to share as soon as they begin, but don't announce them until they are completed. This will keep the energy focused like a laser beam and maintains your clear connection with the universe through the completion stages. This keeps our reliance where it belongs, on our source. So wait until the completion, until contracts are signed or agreements confirmed, until it's a done deal. Unconscious agenda. Maintaining silence also prevents us from being influenced by the unconscious agenda or negative opinions of others. Others may consciously wish you success, but their deeper agenda may not be aligned with your goals and desires. This may not be intentional, mind you, but it does exist, even among family members. For example, a family member may love you and want you to be successful, but unconsciously feel that if you achieve success, they will no longer be needed. A friend's insecurities may trigger envy of your potential success. It's not unusual for others to subdue your enthusiasm, even thwart your attempts, because of their own limiting beliefs or lack of ambition. It's not necessary to understand the psychology behind these situations, but it's important to be aware that they do exist. Secret inner place. A biblical scripture seems to describe the spiritual law perfectly. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. I interpret this to mean that we should go within to our secret inner place and take our desires to the Father, the law, God, universe, who sees in secret. And this power will fulfill our desires, and we will be rewarded openly when everyone sees our results. In other words, share your vision with the creative power of the universe, ask for guidance, and you will attract the right people and the right circumstances to help you fulfill that vision. Let your intuition, not your intellect, guide you to those people with whom to share. It's fine to share your progress with your personal mentor or coach, and a personal mastermind or prosperity group sharing your personal or business goals is fine, as long as each member is supporting the others. I find that I manifest quickly and easily using this principle, and one of the greatest lessons I have learned is to keep quiet. I created a reminder for myself. I borrowed that old World War II slogan, "Loose lips sink ships." It means beware of unguarded talk. It was meant to keep one from speaking of ship movements, as this talk could be overheard by enemy agents who might intercept and destroy the ships. The slogan has remained to this day as an admonition to avoid careless talk in general. And it does the trick for me by keeping my manifesting energy focused and in safe territory. My students' experiences have further supported this aspect of law. I teach them not to share a result until it's fully consummated. Once your manifestation is complete, then it's great fun to shout it from the rooftops. Chapter 16. How long does it take for a thought to reach fruition? How long does it take for a thought to come to fruition? How does time relate to the outer manifestation of our thought, intention, or desire? I have had manifestations come to fruition at the speed of light. Yes, when it happens that fast, it seems like it. But I think we can agree that for the majority of results, there is a required gestation period. My experience has shown that the time element for the physical manifestation of a thought or idea depends upon several factors. Our belief in what the time duration will be. The majority of people cannot grasp the possibility that something can manifest immediately or very quickly. They have a preconceived idea of the amount of time they think it could or should take in real-world time, and that can potentially translate into a self-fulfilled prophecy. Our ability to release the result. Holding on to it, clutching it, analyzing it, obsessing over it, forcing it, attempting to control it by ourselves, these will all delay the manifestation. When we release it and let it go, we invite the universal creator to take over. Again, we can compare this with planting our seed in the garden of our mind, nourishing it with faith and expectation, and releasing its growth to the creative intelligence that knows exactly how to develop it. The elements to be aligned by creative intelligence. Once we conceive an idea, there are elements that we are not aware of that begin to move toward us and the fruition of our idea. There is such a thing as perfect timing for an idea, just as there is perfect timing for the growth of a seed to a plant. So the speed of fruition may also depend upon the availability of the specific elements necessary for fruition. There is often a waiting period for the elements to align perfectly. I call this synchronicity. Our trust. When we trust in the entire creative process, this is related to release, we are relaxed and confident, which speeds up the manifestation. Our acceptance of the done deal. When we think and feel that our idea has already come to fruition, that is the fastest way to bring it into reality. We start with a vision for the so-called future. In consciousness, remember, there is only now. So by accepting our idea as completed, as a done deal, we are compressing time and eliminating the bridge from now to that future result. In my opinion, that is absolutely the fastest way to overcome delays and bring a desire to fruition. When we succeed in doing this, we will no longer care about the time element, because in our thoughts and feelings, what we want is already happening for us. We don't desire something we already have. We are in the mental state of living it. We are relaxed and confident as we await its physical arrival, and it rushes to us at the speed of consciousness. Chapter 17. Bless It and Praise It. What is one of the most powerful, healing, adjusting, attracting, and energizing principles in the universe that can turn any circumstance or situation around, no matter how extreme or hopeless it may appear? It is the principle of blessing and praising. What is so unusual about the idea of blessing and praising in these situations? Well, it is easy to bless and shower your praise upon all of the good people and experiences in life, but have you ever thought of blessing difficult people or negative situations? Did it ever occur to you to bless or praise your lack, your need, your difficult partner or spouse, bodily ills, or bank account? Bless means, 1, to invoke divine care for, like bless your heart. 2, to praise, glorify. 3, to speak well of, approve. And 4, to endow or favor, like blessed with ability. Praise means, 1, to express a favorable judgment of, commend. 2, to glorify, especially by the attribution of perfections. And 3, to express praise. Well, now you are going to get into the habit of blessing and praising all of those things that need changing or healing in your life. As an example, let me explain what happened in my corporate business over the years. I admit there were times when I wasn't content in my former events business. There were times when it was so busy that the amount of detail was overwhelming, or I yearned to do something different, or my feet hurt from overseeing a large event even with adequate help. My spiritual side craved peace and serenity, but the big bucks came from large, precisely coordinated parties and events for corporate and convention clients. If I stayed in a critical mood, my business came to a standstill. Now that got my attention. So I would begin to bless my business. I would bless it and praise it for giving me the opportunity to work independently for myself, for working with talented vendors, for great clients who always paid me before the events. I bless the business, the income, and the clients. I would repeat often to myself or aloud, I bless my business and my wonderful clients, even if there were no clients at the time. Clients always arrived. There are many areas of life that need our blessing, and when we do give it, those areas will adjust, change, improve, grow, and heal right before our eyes. Here are some of the ways you can apply blessings and praise and watch the transformation. Difficult people. Your spouse, partner, children, relatives, coworkers, business associates, employer, employees, creditors, debtors, landlord, tenants, strangers, and motorists. Finances or lack of. Your checkbook, bank account, wallet, purse, investments, savings account, debts, invoices, and credit cards. Health and appearance. Any body part or organ, diagnosed or undiagnosed illness, aches or pains, your physical appearance, weight, flaws, and imperfections, perceived or real. Career and creativity. Your job, business or profession, creative talent, business talent, products or services, clients, customers, vendors or suppliers, teachers and students. Love life. Your spouse or significant other, your singleness if you don't have a partner, your future lover or spouse, and of course bless and release the past ones, your friends and special people in your life. Nature, pets and all living creatures, plants, greenery, and flowers. Belongings, your car, I always bless and praise my car, furnishings and appliances, computer, clothing, all belongings. Food. Food that you consume and the wonderful variety of foods available on our planet, in your garden, and on your trees. And problems. All problems and dilemmas, great or small. It is a common spiritual practice to bless and give thanks for our food, but how many of us really do this? Blessing the incredible food available to us helps this food to be assimilated and nourish our bodies properly. This carries a spiritual vibration into the very cells of our bodies. You can bless your problems right out of existence. Every problem contains a lesson and the opportunity for you to grow. When you use spiritual principles to solve and overcome a problem, there will no longer be a need for it to reappear in your life. Spiritual solutions produce healing, a cure, not a band-aid. Unity Minister Catherine Ponder has a wonderful way to transform negative situations with people. She recommends the use of the following affirmative blessing. I bless you and bless you for the goodness of God or universe or spirit that is within you. I believe a similar blessing can be used for any person, situation, or object. Everything that exists, animate or inanimate, is made up of vibrating energy, and I believe that energy will respond to the frequency and the frequency of our blessing. Chapter 18. Let this speak to your inner child and reignite the magic. When we were children. It's been done again and again, more than we adults remember or realize. There is no use in trying, said Alice. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Lewis Carroll, Through the Looking Glass, Macmillan, 1871. There were surprising places where the magical truth was actually revealed to us as children in our formative years, but we grew up in a world of mass mind negative thinking and the magic appeared to be gone. Maybe a journey back to what we consider children's tales would reveal to us a much greater wisdom at work, wisdom that our all-too-soon-to-be-adult reasoning minds could not retain. And if we come full circle, then maybe, just maybe, we can return to that wisdom and appreciate the profound truths that were screaming for our attention even at a delicate young age. The magic of words. For instance, as children, weren't many of us fascinated with magic? I remember my parents took me to see the famous magician Blackstone perform. Later, Houdini was one of my favorite movies. One day I happened upon an editorial of a book for magicians titled Magic Words, A Dictionary, which is described as a one-of-a-kind resource for magicians and word lovers, exploring the most intriguing magic words and phrases from around the world. This paragraph caught my eye. There is a profound meaning in the cliched image of a magician pulling a rabbit out of an empty hat with the magic word abracadabra. The magician is speaking an ancient Hebrew phrase that means, I will create with words. He is making something out of nothing, echoing that famous line from Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. Only in this case, the light is a white rabbit and perhaps a flash of fire. The magic word, whether it be abracadabra or another of the magician's choosing, resonates with the audience because there is an instinctive understanding that words are powerful creative forces. Craig Conley, Magic Words, A Dictionary, Wiser Books, 2008. In the Arabian Nights tale of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, open sesame is the magical command that opens the door to the treasure-filled robber's den. A magical password, but open sesame has stayed with us for ages and taken on a generic meaning. The dictionary describes it as any very successful means of achieving a result. Yes, the truth was there for us as children. But we grew up in a world of negative thinking and the magic was gone. We forgot. We forgot how to believe. Or rather, we learned how to believe in the wrong things. But the most profound truth of all is that the magic is never gone. It is always there, awaiting our recognition. We must return to the magic. We must open our minds. We must practice. We must regain respect for the power of our words. Half an hour a day, 6 impossible things before breakfast is a good start. Speaking of a good start, I received this email from an early student of mine. Hi, Marilyn. I just had to share this with you. It was on the news yesterday. Maybe you saw it. A young boy, 5 years old, wished for a dog, had been saving his money for 2 years, and saved $200. When Hurricane Katrina hit, he decided to give all of his money to a charity. Well, the news about this got out, and he was given a puppy by whom I forgot, and it was a cute white puppy. Here is the catch. For 2 years, he always referred to his future puppy as Marshmallow. I just love this story, Linnea. Return to the magic. Chapter 19, Faith and Prosperity Consciousness. My teachings are not based on religion. They address the spiritual nature of life and the laws that encompass all people, all faiths, and all belief systems. It doesn't matter whether your beliefs are religion-based or you have no religious affiliation at all. The laws are impersonal and will work for you because they are aligned with your spiritual nature. I believe that spiritual laws are included in all great religions, but are often misinterpreted or distorted. For example, I have noticed how easily some people can quote phrases and scriptures from the Bible that relate to money and wealth, usually with a negative connotation. And yet they somehow seem to overlook other scriptures of equal importance that can balance the perspective in the positive. The following will present my views and address the difference between faith, spiritual faith, and religious faith. The topic then evolves into the subject of money and faith and religious-based distortion. If you are religious, this chapter will have special significance for you. I hope you find the information enlightening or at least provocative enough to contemplate. My desire is that this will give you a sense of security in reaching for spiritual knowledge outside of your own religion, as well as the understanding that the universal nature of these teachings will not conflict with your religious beliefs and will more likely create a greater understanding of them. Faith, spiritual faith, and religious faith. Faith. Faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what you believe. St. Augustine. Definition of faith. Firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Complete trust and expectation. Something that is believed, especially with strong conviction. We give of our time, talents, and services, and have faith that reward will be returned to us. We have unwavering faith in the absolutes of existence. We are certain that the sun will rise or that gravity is completely reliable. But we also have faith or strong convictions in circumstances, conditions, and appearances that are later proven to be wrong. We may also be living below our potential because of faith that is based on deep-seated beliefs that were instilled in our mind from a very young age. This kind of faith is based solely on our mindset, belief, and expectation, and the belief itself produces the result. Think about, bring about. Spiritual faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Definition of spiritual faith. Belief and trust in mental and spiritual laws. Belief in a higher power, God, the universe, infinite intelligence, divine presence, spiritual substance. We base our expectations on the mental and spiritual laws of the universe, such as the law of cause and effect, karmic law, the universal law of circulation, the law of giving and receiving, the law of reciprocity, the law of increase. As you sow, you reap. We can take this a step further and base our faith on our perception of a higher power, God, the universe, infinite intelligence, divine presence, or spiritual substance, as the source of our constant and never-ending supply. We place our complete reliance and trust in the source of all good, and know that we are connected to that source as the child of a rich universe. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Religious faith. I come that ye may have life, and that more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Definition of religious faith. Belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. Strong belief and conviction in a system of religious beliefs. Now, the definition of faith that we embrace in our prosperity work and in our study of universal laws is that of spiritual faith. The elements are not based on organized religion. However, the elements of spiritual faith may be and often are included in a particular religion or its doctrines. For example, Feel Free to Prosper teachings might be described to a Christian with the following scripture. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The scripture clearly lets us know that we have something to do with the creation process, and that something relates to our thoughts and feelings. The Feel Free to Prosper teachings are about renewing our minds and overcoming faulty beliefs in the subconscious that keep us from being aligned with our spiritual source. That source, however you perceive it, is the source of everything we desire and awaits our recognition. I often use the term universe to allow a majority of people to relate. Everyone on this planet has a right to understand the prosperity laws and to receive the gifts of their spiritual heritage. There are many different paths to the one source that has many names. Religious faith and prosperity consciousness. It is important for the growth of our prosperity consciousness for us to be discerning and become aware of religious dogma that may have conditioned our minds, even unconsciously, to interfere with our acceptance of true prosperity in life. A businessman student of mine was raised as a Catholic and wrote to me about the words of the liturgy in the Roman Catholic Mass just before communion. "Lord, I am not worthy," begins the verse. He stated that he probably uttered this several hundred times decades ago. Considering that the subconscious mind does not reason, but accepts our words literally, how do you suppose such a repeated utterance affects one's ability to prosper in life? Money is the root of all evil. This is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. The actual verse is, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." This means we are not to worship money as our God, and that we are to remember and acknowledge the true source of our wealth. And indeed, we must love money if we want to attract it into our lives. We recognize it as another form of spiritual substance that emanates from our universal source of supply. Filthy lucre. The Latin root of lucre or lucrum also means avarice and meant shameful or illicit gain. Now think about it. Money can be no more filthy or evil than the sheep or other livestock or grains or metals used as a value of exchange for trade in ancient times before money appeared. You can see how centuries of misinterpretation can tar the meaning of words and phrases, which can result in a profound impact on the prosperity consciousness of millions of people. Acknowledge instead the spiritual literature, such as the following biblical references, that offer the proper perspective and assure you of your birthright to prosper. "For it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth." Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18. "For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them." Mark, chapter 11, verse 24. I hope this has given you something to ponder carefully with regard to your personal faith. Part 2. Feel Free to Prosper, Your Finances. The amount of substance, wealth, that we have depends upon how big the container, consciousness, is that we bring to the ocean of abundance. We can bring a spoon, a cup, a pail, a tank. The challenge is to acquire the tools to enlarge our container. Marilyn. Since I began teaching prosperity laws, I discovered that not only the general population, but even those who have a strong background in metaphysics, prosperity teachings, the law of attraction, etc., have deep-seated barriers to attracting money. In part two, you will come to understand the underlying cause, a belief that there is a separation from the source of our supply, our invisible means of support. You will see that true security is not related to our bank accounts and financial assets. I want to inspire you to recognize that the negative thoughts about money do not reflect a person's true nature. They do not represent the talents, the abilities, the qualities, or the essence of the person you truly are. On the contrary, they represent negative, false beliefs that were acquired throughout a lifetime and that were instilled in your mind at an early age by others. We recognize the false beliefs about money and prosperity for what they really are: the lie. The truth is then revealed that through our connection with the unlimited source of supply, each and every one of us can prosper. In this section, I teach that the real you has access to all of the creative forces of the universe, because each person is an individualized expression of universal mind, infinite intelligence, God. You will learn exactly how your conditioned thinking, habitual words, and even criticism of money perpetuate your financial lack. You will learn how to quickly shift your focus to create new patterns of thought and speech to begin to magnetize money instead of repelling.